I had mentioned to you at the beginning of our program that we have a guest and we are going to be speaking with Marta Martinez. She is a licensed acupuncturist and we are going to learn a lot about acupuncture tonight. Let us welcome her. Marta, buenas noches, bienvenida.
Buenas noches, Raquel, gracias por invitarme.
Oh, es un placer tenerte acá. Welcome and thank you so much for coming to share all your knowledge about acupuncture. And I hope we'll have you not only tonight, but many other times as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Where did you study to become an acupuncturist? And I know we can... I would like to share with our audience the fact that you are an immigrant like me, and in these days of hardship and not too many good things going on, I would like you to mention how much you are contributing to our society and to the wellness of our people with you being here.
Well, thank you, Raquel. Yes, like you said, I am a first-generation immigrant. I am originally from Nicaragua. I lived to survive the Civil War and then founding refuge in Costa Rica for 10 years. At the age of 18, I came to live to the U.S. to learn English, to learn the culture. And so first I trained as a massage therapist at the Body Therapy Institute, then received a bachelor's from Vermont College. I furthered my pre-med studies by attending UMass Amherst. I studied acupuncture and oriental medicine at the New England School of Acupuncture, now part of the Massachusetts College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences. And in 2010, I traveled to China to study with one of my predominant teachers. This year, I am celebrating my 20th year and anniversary of being in practice, and I want to take this opportunity to thank the thousands of people who have trusted me in their care. It has been my honor to serve them, and as such, I continue to learn about this great and wonderful medicine.
Awesome. Wow. You went to China. What an experience, because is that the birthplace of the acupuncture?
Yeah, well, you know, as a matter of fact, acupuncture has been here for a long, long time. The word acupuncture comes from the Latin and English word acu, of needle, and puncture, of insertion, coined in the late 17th century by a European doctor the first time in this area, who first witnessed a Japanese physician performing acupuncture. Otherwise, acupuncture dates back 100 to 100 BC. We know of 4 golden needles and 5 silver needles that have been found, you know, in a cave and dated 113 BC. The curious things that happened in 1991 is when the Ötzi, the Iceman, was found along the Italian-Austrian border.
Yeah.
And when the iceberg melted, it said that it's dated 3,250 BC, and Ötzi, the man, has tattoos that correspond to acupuncture points all over his body.
Wow. How interesting.
So that makes it 5,000-year-old medicine that we know of.
All right. And the caves that you were talking about, Marta, where were they? China or somewhere else?
China.
Wow, that's awesome. I had no idea that they this person who was found in the Alps had already tattoos way back then.
Yeah, wow. It's pretty amazing. And, you know, during the warring periods in China from 421 to 221 BC, metal needles replaced stone needles, sharpened stones, and pottery that were used to affect the meridians and the points.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of meridians and the points, Marta, how does this work? How does the acupuncture work? We all know that, you know, you insert needles in certain parts of the body, but what are the mechanics of these things? How does it work, Marta?
Well, there's a lot of controversy as far as how exactly it works. There is plenty of research out there. Some researchers say that interrupts nerve messaging systems to the brain. So if, for example, you have pain, you get an acupuncture treatment and then suddenly your pain levels are reduced because of that interruption. Second, they're said that it activates the production of narcotic life like substances that reduce pain, like endorphins. You know, so that's something that your body naturally produces to also reduce pain. And thirdly, there's pain-relieving substances called opioids that also your body produces naturally, that when you are receiving the treatments, that's what, you know, that's what you get. So according to our licensing body in the in the states of Massachusetts, the Board of Registration of Medicine, you know, the therapy of acupuncture not only includes the application of a needle inserted in a certain point along 12 channels and 8 extra channels, but it also can include nutritional counseling, herbal supplements, breathing techniques, therapeutic exercises, and lifestyle, behavioral, and stress counseling. So, and maybe two very popular ones that are included, these are adjunct therapies, are moxibustion and cupping. So it's very safe. There are absolutely no side effects. And acupuncture is extremely, you know, it could be used by anyone, received by anyone, and it's drug-free.
Mm-hmm. When you mentioned about the meridians, something came to mind, Marta. When a person feels pain, let's say in the lower back, now, do the needles have to go right where the pain is, or you have to work with a different area that affects those meridians? How? Give me a little bit more of an idea. I would like to visualize in my mind, you know, how does it affect it?
Yes, so that's a great question, Rachel. Raquel. Well, basically, you know, first, when somebody comes into the office, let's say, for example, you know, you'll ask, you know, there's observation, palpations, you know, there's your diagnostic skills that you have trained for. And then once you see the person, you know, meet the person where they are, you can decide to either insert the needles exactly where it hurts, which is basically called a local treatment, or you can also include a distal treatment. How you decide where to insert the needles is really based on actions and effects, something that you study throughout, you know, your training. But in terms of if it's locally versus distally, it has to do with, you know, if the actual condition is either acute or if it's chronic. So for example, if you have, let's say, stenosis, so that's like a narrowing of the canal of the spine and the lumbar, let's say. So then that is something that is recalcitrant type pain that occurs that may, you know, cause paresthesias, you know, nerving, tingling sensations in your lower limbs. And so for that kind of pain, you would have to work in the lower back. You know, if, for example, someone pulled their back that morning, maybe not so much because they wouldn't respond. Perhaps you would aggravate the situation as opposed to ameliorate it.
Oh, really? Wow. My guest is Marta Martinez, a licensed acupuncturist, and at least I am learning a lot, and I hope you, all our listeners, are learning as well. When a person has a muscular pain or a nerve pain, I know that you can use the acupuncture, but could you use that also if the person has a different type of pain, like, I don't know, some internal organ that it's hurting, your stomach, or any other discomfort? Would acupuncture work with that also, or is it restricted solely to muscles and nerves?
Yeah, great question. Well, basically, according to the World Health Organization, or the WHO, they have published an official report listing 31 symptoms and conditions and diseases that show the efficacy of acupuncture. And they include low back pain, neck pain, sciatica, tennis elbow, like, and a broad spectrum of pains. But they also include things like a headache, chronic gastritis, rheumatoid arthritis, morning sickness. How about breech birth presentation or stroke? You know, side effects from chemo reactions, allergies, and, you know, peptic ulcers.
Oh, Oh, wow, unreal.
And that's
wow.
just a few.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, that is awesome. I had no idea that acupuncture can help with all these malaises. And I just wanted to let you know that I had no idea at all on this. But when a person comes to you with some kind of pain, and if they're not too sure what it is, you just, you know, they're not sure if it hurts right here only, like in my lower back, but maybe it's way deep. You make a different kind of assessment to determine where exactly you are going to be working.
Yes, absolutely. Before working with someone, you want to establish what it's called a treatment strategy. And you do that based on your analysis of that person, based on, you know, what our Board of Registration of Medicine also calls the diagnostic tools, mm-hmm. which include observation, listening, smelling, inquiring, palpating, taking a pulse.
Did you say smelling?
Absolutely. You're using your five senses, physiognomy, which is a facial feature or, understanding. That's a word that comes from a Greek word meaning interpreter of nature. You know, so you're really taking in who that person is and hopefully meeting them exactly where they are and advancing them so that they feel good, sustained, livened, and reduced the pain.
Are you saying that when a patient comes to you and with some kind of complaint, you don't go right straight to that pain and focus on that? Am I understanding you correctly that you first want to meet and know your patient in a general sense?
Sure. We're perhaps kind of like your old doctor, your old, style doctor. You know, we want to know who that person is in present moment, both in terms of, you know, their pain, but also who they are in life. You know, you have 2,000 live points through your body. When you're in school, for example, you might focus on 360 to 365, and that's not including auricular, scalp, orbicular, and other extra points. So really, you know, how you determine how to treat that person, partly it has to do with the art aspect, but also just creating a treatment strategy.
It's kind of a holistic approach then to your patient?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And you know what? That takes me to one of the most, the earliest book written in Chinese medicine, the foundations of this medicine, is called The Yellow Emperor's Classical of Internal Medicine, or Huan Di Nei Jing in Chinese. It was compiled around 300 to 200 BC. This book is a dialogue between Huan Di, the Yellow Emperor, and his physician, Qi Bo. Basically, the book is about the Dao, which means the way and the method of maintaining harmony. So what that entails basically is that the art of acupuncture, the practice of Chinese medicine, the practice of Oriental medicine is really a study of balance, a study of harmony.
We are speaking with Marta Martinez, a licensed acupuncturist here in this area. When I say this area, it's in Western Mass, in Florence to be more specific. And you are in tune to Tertulia. I am here with you every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. You may listen to us online at anypr.net. And you can call us also. Phone number is 413-735-6636. Marta, there are different types of acupuncture.
Yes, and basically that derives really from, well, the region, you know, in China first, mm-hmm. and that spreading throughout Asia to Korea, to Vietnam, to Japan. In 1950, Chairman Mao officially united TCM, or traditional Chinese medicine, with Western medicine and acupuncture. So that means that it became established in many hospitals. There's a very famous account of his words that stated, "Let 1,000 flowers flourish." Although that integration of TCM is still controversial to this date, because you know, it's acupuncture is something that's constantly changing. It's not a static system. On the contrary, it is constantly evolving. In 1971, a New York Times reporter, a member of the U.S. Press Corps, when he was preparing to receive President Nixon in China, he witnessed the recovery of an emergency appendectomy, and ever since, acupuncture has been increasingly in the news. In 1975, New England School of Acupuncture was first established, the first school in the country, and that's where I attended. But basically, you know, when you learn acupuncture, you're really learning a full integrative body of work. You know, once you get into more of the differential classical books, then you can really distill some of these kind of regional learnings that, for example, let's say the North had more arthritis, you know, in China. So some of their understanding of how to treat RA, rheumatoid arthritis, or, you know, pain in the joints of other kinds might be from, that region. Then you might have something like in the southern aspects, you know, where you might have more like gastrointestinal issues. And so that body of work came from that region. And so, you know, you can start to break down where the ancient knowledge came from, but it's really what we practice today. I believe that it's really called American acupuncture because it's really a combination of all those things, as well as really integrating what we know as far as Western medicine. And that's where we all meet today.
Is there a big difference between the acupuncture that is used here in the United States, specifically in New England, as opposed to the one that is being practiced now in China? Is there a big difference, or as you mentioned, that it's all integrated and it's all of them are represented in the acupuncture that is being used here?
Well, I think it's basically more represented here and integrated as a whole. You know, like I said, when you go to school, you might take a class that says Korean acupuncture, and it's a little bit, you know, from that region, and, you know, it's distilled from their culture and what they might have learned as a result of, you know, 5,000 years of diseases. And so what we have really now is the all-encompassing body that, you know, if as a practitioner, it's really fascinating to me to really study the classics because that's what it informs me. And then you can really place it. You can decipher the loci of where that understanding came from.
My guest tonight, Marta Martinez, a licensed acupuncturist in Florence, Massachusetts. You are in tune to Tertulia. I am here with you every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m., 88.5 FM, and online at NEPR.net. And we are talking about acupuncture. Now, I read somewhere that now there is, I don't know how new this is, but this is something that I had not heard of before. Acupuncture related to or working with electricity, with some type of current?
Yes, I think you're referring to electroacupuncture.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and basically you would use that if you have recalcitrant pain that it is so annoying, that is distracting, that it's, you know, you can't focus in your life. There are situations where you want to use them. You want to apply, basically what you do is you insert the needles. Usually you would either, you know, do a manual manipulation, either maybe let them rest. And then there is, you know, when you do electroacupuncture, when you place these leads on top of the head of the needles, you know, a needle is composed of a handle, a shaft, and a point. And so in that case, you would use like a metal shaft needle. A needle is made out of surgical steel, and it's a filiform needle, so it's not hollow. It's usually between 0.10 millimeter and 0.18 millimeters that I use. The 0.10 is pretty much thinner than a human hair. So, you know, they usually come in with like a plastic tube so that it can guide your insertion, because otherwise they just bend and you can't really do anything with them. Unless you, well, then there's some added techniques that you can do to, you know, use those types. But you would use a metal handle mm-hmm. for acupuncture, preferably. And then you would attach those leads to the top of the handles or the body, you know, the shaft. And then, you know, there's different kinds of waves that you can adjust the frequency, the wave, the and it really is excellent for pain relief. It's wonderful. And again, it is drug-free and with little to no side effects. The only time that you would want to maybe avoid electroacupuncture is when you have a pacemaker.
Mm. You mentioned the word relief. With acupuncture, do you only get relief from pain, or is there a possibility that it can cure something, I don't know, of a disease, or cure permanently of a pain?
Yes, I think that acupuncture has curative effects for certain types of illnesses. That's really dependent on the chronicity, the level of pain, and maybe it's you know, for example, one of the lists that it, according to the World Health Organization, it's depression. You know, so if someone is depressed, someone is disconnected, someone is out of harmony, it can really bring you, you know, together. It can make you feel well. It can make you smile again. It can make you notice things that you perhaps never saw before.
Wow, I was wondering if maybe, you know, when a person is depressed, the typical Western medicine is to pump a whole bunch of cocktails and medicine and pills to the person, to the patient. And it just crossed my mind that maybe this is something that should be explored deeper to see if the person with the depression can improve his or her situation without having to use all these chemicals.
Well, that is correct. And basically, you know, the National Institute of Health has put out a statement, and I'm going to just read this. Quote, one of the advantages of acupuncture is that the incidence of adverse effects is substantially lower than that of many drugs or other accepted medical procedures used for the same conditions. That was a statement made, again, by the National mm-hmm. Institute of Health in 1997. And it basically summarizes what you just said, which is it's acupuncture is safe, it's drug-free, and with little to no side effects. It's been here for a long time, and it is a very effective treatment for not just pain, but for other types of illnesses.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me, and I'm sure you have seen and heard this too, these commercials on TV in which they say, yes, you can take this medicine, you know, for your arthritis or something. However, side effects can be this and that and that and that, and you can even die from that.
That's where what's so scary about, you know, someone's care. And, you know, a lot of it is having to learn how to navigate yourself through a web of new medicines. You know, the intention of people is to help other people. You know, I believe in the heart of hearts of, you know, medical doctors and, you know, but sometimes, yeah, taking drugs is not always the best route. And this is a great, you know, I don't want to call it alternative because this is no longer an alternative. This is another way in which people can find themselves, people can reduce pain, people can resolve life issues. And it's here. It's wonderful, and it's drug-free.
How interesting. And Marta, if anybody wants to get in touch with you because they have more questions or they would like to, you know, consult with you, is there a way to get in touch with you?
Sure. I think that the easiest way to find me would be through my website, which is stayintouchcenter.com. I'm located really at 92 Main Street, Suite 202 in Florence, Massachusetts. Our phone number at the office, it's 413-585-0606. But again, check out our website at stayintouchcenter.com. If you'd like to send me an email, please do. I'm around, and the practice of the name of our practice is Stay in Touch. Stay in touch. So stay in touch.
Very good. This has been so interesting, Marta. I want to thank you so much for sharing this with me and with all the listeners. Thank you. Gracias.
Thank you. Gracias a usted.
Ha sido un placer inmenso tenerte como invitada. My guest tonight was Marta Martinez, a licensed acupuncturist in Florence, Massachusetts. And if you would like to get more information about this, there is a website, stayintouchcenter.com.